हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So, Paramatma Sandarbha Adhyayana 2, Adhikarna 6, the jiva is a doer and enjoyer. So, Anucheta 35, page 83. Because the initiative to act takes place by a predominance of upadis, or material conditioning, the initiative to act is often described as a quality of the upadis. Karyam karana kartritve karanam prakritim viduhu. They say that prakriti is the cause of the jiva's actions. Being the cause of the body, senses, and sense devata, Srimad Bhagavatam 326, 8. Right. So, by the predominance of Paramatma, Jiva's initiative to act takes place without upadis. Mm-hmm. Then, from Bhagavatam, a performer of action who is free of attachment is in sattva. A performer of action overcome by sense objects is in rajas, and a performer of action who is devoid of inquiry is in tamas. But a performer of action who has taken shelter of me alone is beyond the gunas. The Lord spoke thus the verse. Right? So, in other words, the jiva is a doer. Now the question is he a doer under the modes, or is he a doer above the modes? So if he's under the modes, he's still taking part. But what we actually see is that things are presented to jiva according to his particular interest, and he's taking part in it. Right? How you say? A contemporary example would be the, internet's algorithms. Right? It means what comes up is what you want to look at. When you look at something, they just put up more of that. Yes. You look at one ad, you put more of those ads. You look at one thing, they put more of that. Yes. And so you feel you're independent, but at the same time, you're being controlled by the algorithm. Yes. Right? You can say, no, because I'm doing this, therefore I get this. But the whole point is the algorithm is the one that you're doing, yes. But it's still under the control of the material energy. So it's only when one works only for Krishna, because otherwise we see in sattva, then is free of attachment, he's in sattva, right? Overcome by sense objects is rajas, and then devoid of inquiries in tamas, right? And so therefore we see the free of attachment, you say you're doing it because it's your duty, right? Mm-hmm. So that's sattva. So that's what the Vedic system is about. That's why the Vedic system may not be appreciated or may be opposed, you know, as we were discussing yesterday. There are those who want to function on these part of the upadis. And okay, that goes on, you know. But they're functioning in these upadis not with detachment, with attachment for their own purpose. And at the same time, they're opposed to the Vedic version, that brings in the mode of ignorance. So even on the material platform, it's lower. So you can say, yes, we're not Indians and all that. Says, yes, you can't work in goodness. So that's the problem. Recognize the problem. We're trying to say, no, we're doing this and we're doing that. It's all equal. You know? Like that. It's not equal. In the material world, nothing's equal. It's all different according to the modes and what's there and what's going on. And like that, what's bigger and smaller and that. So therefore, working under impassioned ignorance, specifically ignorance, then one opposes the Vedic version because of attachment. Because that's the problem with the Vedic version, is you have to act in detachment. But we demand to act in attachment. And at the same time, it's because the Vedas are encouraging detachment, that not being good, we have to attack that to make it look that it's bad. Oh, it's just Indian. No, it's Vedic. Oh, but that tract of land is India. No, that's Bharatvarsha. That's what's left of Bharatvarsha. So we have to understand what we're dealing with here. Yes.
So the basic algorithm of materialists is that first, they argue there's no absolute.
Yes.
Everything, they bring everything into relative
very
existence.
Good point. Very good point.
Then, in relativity, they argue their point.
Yes, yes.
Rhetoric, whatever.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then they bring you on equal level. Then, after that is adjusted, then they say, no, actually we're secure.
Yes, very exact. Yeah, very good, very good.
Yeah.
Very exact, yeah. Very, very good. No, that's a very nice point. So, yes, because if you have an absolute, because that's the point, the Vedic, it's about Siddhanta. It means you have so many people within the Vedic who also then try to work on a more speculative platform, but they still have to work within the context of what the Veda gives them. Right? They can't be completely no, how you say, direction, no restriction. So that, because you have to work by the Vedic verses, so it restricts, but they still try their best to be that. But the main point is if you get rid of the absolute authority, then, as Prabhu says, it becomes relative. You know, and this was a, you know, how you could say, the Greeks' gift to the world, right? You know, I'd say so. Is that relativity element, then that means no absolute, means whatever I think or you think, it's all the same. So then you take it from, no, there's a Vedic absolute, down to, oh, it's just India and America. Mm-hmm. And then, as Prabhu points out, is once we establish that, then we're going to prove how actually America is better. You know, that's how it works. So it's going to be like that in anything. Yes, no, so we're all here, we're all these philosophies and this and that, I am you and you are we and we are all together and that, but at the same time I'm better because I know this and you don't. So it's always going to be that's just the material consciousness. So that's under the most. Why Prabhu can say that that's the way it works is because that's how the modes function. Right? That's just how the modes function. So you either work above the modes, but a performer of action who has taken shelter of me alone is beyond the gunas. So now you're going to have those in the gunas, those who have taken shelter of Krishna, but not Krishna alone, and then it'll be mixed devotional service, and then there's going to be Krishna alone, pure devotional service. So we're trying to get to pure devotional service. So to get to pure, then you have to recognize its superior position. And you have to recognize our conditioning is not an ideal position because it's a covering on the soul. Mm-hmm. Right? Because the discussion's about the soul. Right? Not about what you're wearing. Not about the body. It's about the soul. Then once that's established, then you can look at what you wear. But as Prabhu pointed out, you just clear the field that now it's just whatever we want to discuss and anything, everything's all equal. There's no hierarchy here. So there's no absolute, there's no the Lord, there's no the Jiva, there's no these things. It's just whatever particular attachments I have, then someone else is different. It's just other attachments. So we clear the field that, okay, it's just about, that's the discussion. Then we show my attachments are better than your attachments. My Maya is better than your Maya. You know? So like that.
I remember that Tirthadamba was saying, your matter matters, but my matter matters more.
Your matter matters, my matter matters more.
I think he got it from the university preaching or something.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. You know, so it's just how the modes work. So that's then what Jiva Goswami is pointing out here, is that the Bhagavatam's making this point, is that the jiva considers himself the doer, but actually it's being done by material energy. He's just going for the ride.
Yes.
You know, it's just like you get on, let's say, a ride at a carnival. You're doing nothing other than accepting to go on this ride. The ride does everything. But you will say, I went on this ride as if I did all the work.
Yes. Yes.
So that's why then you see statements that, you know, in Gita, Krishna's making the point, the living entity neither kills nor is killed.
Mm-hmm.
Because the modes of nature are taking care of that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, as one who works, takes shelter of Krishna, is beyond the gunas. So they're actually free. They're actually working. So then the process is to understand this and then try to work on this platform, even though it may be mixed. We're trying to take shelter of Krishna, but yes, we by habit are still acting according to our own bodies. But then it comes to the point where we're beyond the modes, we just engage the upadis. But it's not based on the upadis, it's based on Krishna, right? My upadi means my particular body, mind, and everything in this environment, I want to do this because of that. You know, I identify, hey, this is my place, this is my, yeah, let's do this, right? But the other, but what Krishna's talking about, one who's transcendental, it's about, I'm servant of Krishna. In this situation, how can I serve Krishna? And then you engage the body, mind, and words in Krishna's service. You don't have something else to work with. Because you have to understand is that it's two, it means, depending which way you put it, it has two different effects. You know? So that's the thing, is that, so one will try to make it all equal so you don't see these differences, and then you can, you know, establish your position. But then it just becomes, as we said, mode of passion. It's about sense objects, it's about status, it's about position, it's about, you know, seniority, it's all these things. That's the mode of passion. And we see that, you know, it's very common. You know, generally those who are trying to control and lead society are in the mode of passion. They're not doing it because that's their duty. They're doing it because that's what they want. And then the general people who don't inquire, they just follow the rat race. They're in the mode of ignorance. You know? And you want to invoke. And so you see advertisement. Because action will come from passion. Right? On the lower platform. You know, the higher platform comes from goodness. And then the highest comes from devotion. So people are in ignorance, so they're just going to go on their day-to-day things. So how do you make money off of them? By putting in a touch of passion so that they're interested to buy something that they think they're going to enjoy with. You know, so you present sense objects that you will enjoy this. And so that's what advertisement's for. Because otherwise, if there was no advertisement, then, you know, things, life would be very simple. Right. You know, because who cares? Is that Sarva Sambhadini. So this goes for a while? Oh, no, not so long. You said there's a really big one coming up?
After two.
Okay. In order to show that the pure jiva has the nature of a doer, it's accepted he is a doer by his shakti along with the senses. Yata cha taksho bhayata. Like a carpenter, the jiva is a doer. Brahma Sutra 2.3.38. Just as a carpenter uses an axe, the jiva is a doer using his shakti. In this way, both ubhayata are doers. Karta shastrar ta vat vat. The jiva is the agent because he gives meaning to the scriptures. Brahma Sutra 2.3.31. He's an agent, because then you see what these scriptures are talking about. It becomes applied in the jiva's life. Right? Because it's there for. Does that make sense? So therefore, as an agent, he's a doer. Because you want to establish he's doing. Because the Mayavadis want to say it's all illusion. Right? Like that. At the same time, as we're only taking it as far as to show that he is involved, but there's a difference between acting under the modes, which actually then the modes are taking care of, or being independent and working in devotion. So we're establishing the point, but not allowing karma to take over, that we're the ones that are in control. at the same time not going the other way, where it's an illusion, like the impersonalist will say. So you have to get that balance here. So being an agent means you're doing something, but actually you're an agent on behalf of something else. It's not that we make the scriptures. It's that we become the agent for applying what's in the scriptures. It means here, in the spiritual world, it's going on anyway. Yes.
So Maharaj, taking the object and the reflection example, can we say that in the absolute realm, the jiva desires, then endeavors, and then the internal potency of the Lord helps him to execute his service to the Lord. Is that
right? Yes, yes. It's always, we're always working under energy. It's just which one. Mm-hmm. So then you can say is that under on the material, it appears that we're independent, but we're not. But on the spiritual, then that is actually the independent choice. You want to work in that capacity, you know, with that attraction and attachment and love for Krishna. You know, so that's desire. While here, it's about ourselves, so we get entangled in what goes on here. And you do one thing, and so Maya presented again. But no, as it goes, then you'll get too much of that, so then you'll start to adjust. And Maya just adjusts along with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so that's what it is. You'll see, I think, you know, modern context, they call it fads. You know, a fad is, you know, what comes up and everybody gets involved in it. When everybody's doing it, then it just dies out. And then it moves on to something else. You know, like there'll be something, like remember, what was it, some years ago, then everybody wore black. You know, and then it kind of like faded, and now it's grays, browns, then it's on into now bright colors again, because before that it was really bright colors, like fluorescent colors. Now it's kind of more pastel-y, but a little bit much. So it just keeps moving. People get into one thing and so much, and then they go into the next and the next. And Maya just keeps them going around the circle. So everything that's there, you say, oh, it's the new fashion, but you find it's just something that was there before. Someone was looking at, let's say, some military outfit from the 1800s, you know, and then from that he saw a lapel or, you know, a pocket or a particular cut or a particular sleeve or a button, and then he puts it on and everyone, oh, new, latest, and it's 100, 200 years old, you know. But that's how it works. So Maya just keeps moving it around, you know. You know, it's like the goldfish, you know, it goes to this side and then it's forgotten about it, so then when it turns around, ooh, this is nice, you know. Yeah.
Yesterday I was watching some short video about Louis Vuitton.
Okay.
In the 1900s.
Right.
He started to make trunks, actually, for travel.
Yes, trunks.
That's how he started.
Yes, yes.
And then, because people, he got really popular within a short period of time. Worked hard, but still.
Yes.
And then everybody just copied him.
Yes.
So to avoid that, he designed lines and squares, like a chess board.
Right, yeah.
So we can see it is still there. That's his basic design.
Yeah, yeah.
Even today, the Louis Vuitton bag, they have similar, very similar designs.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like 150 years
yeah.
later, he's got his brand, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And people like it for huge amounts.
Yeah, yeah. No, interesting, because it went into that, and then people were still copying, so then he made that monogram with the L and the V.
Oh, yeah.
Then people had to leave that alone. They'd make their own, but they couldn't make it look like that. You know, because that would be... And that went until just a few years ago. And it still is there. But then there's so many copies, you know, how you say, the imitations that use that, you know, most people will be using that now it's gone back to what you said, those squares.
Yeah, the square.
You know, you think it's, oh, it's a new thing. No, it's that's
the original.
That's the original. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a... It's just cycles. Everything's cycles. Satya Yuga, Kali Yuga, like this, then it goes back to Satya Yuga. Then it starts down again. Then it kind of goes back to Satya. Like that. Day of Brahma. He gets up in the morning, goes to sleep. Starts in the morning, goes. Everything cycle. Krishna breathes out. There's a creation, he breathes back in. So it's just going in a cycle. So when it's in connection with Krishna and his interest, then it's ever fresh. But when it's connected with us, then it has to have that different thing. And then the worst part is when we try to project upon Krishna our attachments. You know, what we do and what we think, and you know, like people saying, oh, Krishna wouldn't want to take cow's milk because they're behaving with the cows like this. Krishna would fat, like I'm fasting. I'm taking a political stand on cows, so therefore Krishna would just be just as political as I am. In fact, you know, maybe even more. You know? And so he would take it that way, rather than the cows are his children also, so why would you neglect your children just because someone behaves badly with them? You know? Could you imagine? The child comes home from school, complains he's bullied, and the bullied, and that, you know, hey, get out of my house, I'm not dealing with you. You know, I don't deal with bullied children. You know, I can't support bulliness. You know? And, you know, and calls up the school, you know, I'm not letting my kid back in my house until this bullying stops at the school. But that's the philosophy they're talking. You know, it's actually that stupid. So that's the difficulty, is that we will project on Krishna our philosophies, our desires, our attachments, and say Krishna must do like this. But Krishna's independent. He establishes what's there. Because we said, he's the original. Variety here is simply a minor reflection of what goes on there. So therefore, it's all that. You may have your attachment, but why push your attachment? Because it's not goodness, it's only passion. Engage your attachment, yes. You're attached to a certain thing, engage in Krishna's service, great. But never claim that, you know, this is Krishna's desire. So, yes?
I think Jayananda Pandit mentions in his Premadivarta that the neophytes, their condition to practice Aropa and Sangha Siddha Bhakti, in no way they can realize Sarup Siddha Bhakti. Only Madhyamas, then they understand the difference. Otherwise, okay. Neophytes, they think Aropa and Sangha, that's the best. I'm doing the best thing. I'm following the best program. So they can't see the difference on that level.
Yes. Yeah, because the neophyte's going to, you know, do that same thing, make everything equal, and then out of that I choose. Well, only the point is that, like you said, the Madhyama, then you make the distinction. It's Krishna is the standard, and his choice is the standard. Then from those, we choose which ones I'm able to take part in. You know? It's just that, you know, I'm good at this, so I should do this. Okay, that's nice. But then there's the point is, Krishna has his choices. So then, you know, the acharyas have given us these options. So from those options, I can actually take part in this to a successful way to do something nice for Krishna. It's a very different approach. So, yeah, that's a good point. Yes?
I think yesterday you also mentioned that the teaching of Paramatma of the Lord manifests when we try to serve Him, but also we expect some in return. Mm-hmm. For our service. But then Bhagavan is unalloyed.
Yes.
So that is the difference, which is, you know, most devotees, they can explain. They think they worship the Lord, but within their mind, he should give them the result of their worship.
Yes.
So then he manifests as Paramatma. Because yes. This is the relationship.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, because it's that I'm worshiping him because he's God, rather than I'm worshiping you because he's the nicest person. Like that. So it's a difference. So that's why it also mentions this has never been given before. This aspect of worshiping Krishna simply from the platform that he's the most special person. And that you can therefore have the most special relationship. and that the taste that's there is the highest because it's just about Krishna being himself. Because as God, then he has to adjust. It means not that he has, it means he has to adjust, but he reciprocates with you how you think he is. Well, in Braj, Krishna just behaves the way he is. Well, and Dwarka and Vaikuntha, then he has to adjust a bit, especially Vaikuntha, that he's God. He has to do God stuff. So he doesn't pull out his flute and play his flute and hang out with the cows because that's not God stuff. You know? Well, in Dwarka, it's kind of like they know it's the same person, but, you know, we're Kshatriyas and doing Kshatriya stuff, so, you know, we're cool with it. But, you know, we can think about, you know, like that, the Brajbasis and what he used to do and all. So it's nice. But with the Brajbasis, he can just be himself. So that's the specialty, is that he can just be himself. And in this, then, being with means he's in control of everything, so he pervades everything, so there's nothing that's separate from him. But at the same time, is that feeling of separateness then gives rise to a greater attraction. So therefore then in Braja Vrindavan, you get the sense of separation. So that's then the highest form of his just, you know, being his natural behavior. Like that. Because others deal with Vrindavan. And they may deal with Radha and Krishna worship. They may deal with the spontaneity, because everybody in some degree deals with spontaneity. But it's just how much that spontaneity is. You know? So that spontaneous aspect, then it has a position, means that you're fully absorbed. So even in Vaikuntha, they'll have a spontaneous aspect. But it's still, it's spontaneous in that they like to work within the context of majesty. Right? But the spontaneous meaning is just about what Krishna wants to do. In other words, the spontaneity is Krishna. And we spontaneously want to take part in Krishna's spontaneity. Right? Well, in the material world, then the idea of spontaneous means sporadic, whimsical. I do whatever I feel like, whenever I feel like. So it's just the opposite. It's the lowest. Then you have that he's inspired within a context. You know, he's very good. Let's say someone is working within particular rules of something, you know, business or that or anything. And, you know, the term, he thinks outside the box. But he still has to be thinking what works in economics. It's not actually out the box. It's outside of what everybody else is thinking. But it's still within the context of economics. So that's the spontaneous aspect. So it's always there. But it's just in Braj, it has its natural. Therefore, it's called spontaneous because it takes on its natural form. Does that make sense? So here is that. The natural form, the surupa, the jiva, you see it in that taking shelter of Krishna alone. Then when it's not taking shelter of Krishna, then it becomes perverted. So in the mode of goodness, there's still a little bit of light there that you could move forward to this shelter of me alone. But at the same time, it's not fully there. But then when you come to passion and ignorance, it just gets covered. So it gets really distorted. You know, so you have a perversion, then a distortion. So how they apply themselves in passion and ignorance, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be following the proper form. So that's another thing, is then being attached to the Western way of lifestyle means you're attached to a distorted form that's not actually in line with the soul. And then identifying with it, and it's just like what we're saying here, the modes of nature are taking over. And then we're trying to say that's a philosophy and it's good, and it's as good as the one who's in the mode of goodness and the one who takes shelter of Krishna. That's completely bogus. I mean, yeah. Complete being a euphemism here. You know, it just has nothing to do with reality. So We want to show that he is the doer, but you have to understand is where he's the doer in his natural form and where he's the doer in a covered form. Because it comes down to the desire. Like that. So being having the desire to take part, then he goes along with it. You know, it's just like Shakuni is rolling the dice and winning everything, but we see Duryodhana and Dushasana think we work so hard, you know, to get all this stuff from Yudhishthira and that. Now the old man, you know, means Dhritarashtra, has given it all back again. They didn't do nothing. They just sat there and, you know, I mean, if insulting Yudhishthira and his brothers and Draupadi during the time he's rolling dice is serious work, then yes, they worked very hard. But otherwise, they didn't do anything. But because they identify with it, you know, the process, the result, therefore, then they're known as the doer. The jiva with absorption in the material body is a doer through the body's senses. The jiva in a pure condition is inspired to act by Paramatma. So he wants to work to please the Lord. So desire to please the Lord, and that's how why he works. And for the other, because they're absorbed in the material body and the benefits they'll get from that, that's their inspiration. Right? Because you have to point it out, because the Mayavadis are going to point out that being covered is an illusion. And so therefore being an illusion, it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. We're pointing out it is illusion, but it exists. You just have to see is the natural form of the jiva and the covered form. Otherwise they're going to say, okay, in the natural form, yeah, but in this it's that, so it doesn't exist.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's why you have to point them out both together. Because otherwise if you point out just one or just the other, then one can end up with karma or jnana. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why Srila Prabhupada would very say something and immediately say the devotional aspect also. So you always saw two. Because we don't have a very long memory.
Yes.
Well, I see Jiva Goswami, he may go on for pages building it up and then make the point. He's making both points and conclusion, but he's just giving a little longer because, you know, the audience is, you know, supposedly more intellectual and is able to accommodate that.
Yes.
That's the glory of Srila Prabhupada, is he knows that's not the reality. Yes?
It's also illogical to deny existence of objects instead of saying illusion is a matter of perception. It is there, that the snake is there, the rope is there.
Right.
But the illusion is that we perceive one for the other.
Yes, yes.
It's not denying they don't exist. Well, what kind of logic is it?
Yes, yes. No, it doesn't have a logic. And that, yes, that's the whole thing. Is that because just because something's an illusion doesn't mean the elements of their illusion don't exist. You know, because that's what we see around us. But they want to take the platform that if this is material, spiritual must be the opposite. And on one position, it is. Just like in the reflection in a mirror, it's opposite. But it doesn't mean that how they perceive it. So they perceive the concept of opposite, the supreme, the absolute, from a mundane position, from a conditioned position. And then they come up with that idea that If this is material, then spiritual has to be the opposite, so that's nothing. If this is all things and variety and activities, so that has to be nothing. This is limited, that's unlimited, like this. So they get certain aspects right, but basically in most of it, they're wrong. You know, as we saw from when you check the drama, you have to see the major aspects and the minor aspects and weigh them out, and then like that. Yes.
I've heard one discussion that if you really corner Mayavadis and say, do you agree that the only Brahman exists? They say yes. It has that quality of sat.
Right.
Then what about the material, you know, creation? That is asat.
Mm-hmm.
And then what is about Maya? And then they say, yeah, we can say it exists, but it also doesn't exist. So it's sat and asat simultaneously.
Maya. Okay.
So it's sat asat. Because it's all, their philosophy is based on Maya.
Yes.
So whether it exists or don't exist, we can't define. It's sat and asat simultaneously.
Yeah. But then also that means then what they're saying is both sat and asat. Does it exist? Does it exist that you're saying? Are you existing in this corner?
Yes.
If you're illusion, could I hit you over the head with a cricket bat and it didn't actually happen?
Maybe it happened. Probably not.
However, by a predominance of actions of Prakriti, matter or bodies are said to be the doer, because that's the predominance. He just takes part. So in other words, you can say Maya is the doer, Prakriti. But since it was already explained that the jiva outside the body is without senses, ultimately the jiva himself is the doer. Right? So you could say the body is doing, but ultimately it's going to be the jiva, but above that it's actually Paramatma, by his potencies, that all this is going on. But now if we turn to Paramatma, now we are not controlled by the modes. The other ones, the modes are controlling. Like that. So that's why for actual self-realization, you have to understand the Lord. Otherwise, it won't be complete. Prana follows the jiva in bodies born from eggs, wombs, seeds, and perspiration. When the senses and ahankara cease to function in deep sleep, the fixed atma alone remains, without the covering of the subtle body, but with memory of the experience of deep sleep. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.39. So he's there in both states. Right? Otherwise, then there's going to be the thing is that you can say is, oh, when he goes to sleep, then, you know, it's all gone and it's all, but he remembers both. I can say I did this in sleep.
Yes.
You know, and in sleep, then you're thinking of things you did when you were awake.
Yes. Yes.
So what's the common point? Is the jiva, the consciousness. Right? Huh? Yes.
What does it mean by jiva outside the body is without senses?
I say the modes will be the modes, right? Does the jiva have material senses?
What is he identifies
with? Yeah, so he has spiritual senses.
Yeah.
So when we say without senses, when we say nirguna, it means without material. Huh? Don't catch this. See, here it says no senses. See, impersonalism is the thing. Yeah, I always knew it all along. Yeah, yeah, avoid that one. Okay? Okay?
But this is a tendency.
Yes, yes. You know, everyone has their
yes,
Maya, right?
Yes.
It's like in the beginning we were reading that the jiva is the controller and he is the doer.
Mm-hmm.
The antennas immediately, yeah.
Sounds about right, you know. But, you know, yeah.
But then it mentioned the secondary controller, the secondary doer, that there's a Lord.
Oh. And there's millions of us and one of him. And that's okay. I thought, I'm the controller. Oh, yeah, everybody else also.
At least some control is there.
At least some control is there. Yeah, better than no control at all.
See the positive side.
The positive side, yeah. But you have to share that control with all the other unlimited living entities.
That's a problem.
Yeah, that's where the problem comes in. Yeah. So the problem is not your problem, it's all the other unlimited living entities. So God can be in control, I'm in control, and everybody else has got to adjust with that, right?
Yes.
Can we say that's the Brahma body? Because we accept the Lord.
I would say it's more karma. Trying to move. How about an intellectual karma? Yeah, yeah, that one. An intelligent karma. But it's just various aspects of the same thing. Mm-hmm. See, is that it's a matter of whether it's the control and then there's envy, or whether there's envy and then there's control. You understand? The impersonalist, there's envy, and then there's, so they want to be God. The other one is control, I'm God, and then you're envious of everybody else because they also think you're God. It's the same thing. So that's the things, that's the varieties of how Maya deals with karma and jnana. That's why we were discussing, I think it was a few days before, about Bhaktivinoda Thakura and Tattva Vivek. He shows all the different material mentalities you can have, and therefore what basis of what philosophies can come up. You know, he's just talking about the building blocks of mundane consciousness. It's all karma or jnana. And then from that you can get kind of, it works in different areas, has interest, you know, is it positive or negative, you know, and how many, is there a God, how many gods, you know, and all this kind of things, you know, that there is, that kind of aspect. And there's some other elements that, you know, which level of consciousness, what sense is prominent, you know, things like that. And so then from there it comes out like that. Yeah, and then from that, you combine those together and you get the right combination, you know, that's a prominent one. Then you get, you know, you get Gotama, or you get Vaisheshika, you get like this, or you get in the modern philosophers, you know, like that.
Maya is just responding to the desire of the living entity?
Yes, yes. It's just taking them through and responding. It's like, let's say you have the modern thing, because people say, oh, it's so realistic, they call it the interactive experience.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's just what Maya does. You deal with one thing, and then she interacts with it. You know, it's just like we're saying, oh, no, on the internet, you know, it seems that, you know, you're sitting talking to a friend, and then those things come up on your phone.
Yes.
Like that. But that's what Maya does. What you talk about is then what she brings up. So all it is that somehow or another the internet has figured out how to mimic Maya better. And then some complain, you know, that it may be a little more intelligent, but they don't understand you have to get out of Maya. They just don't want a Maya on top of a Maya. They want just the original, natural Maya, organic Maya, you know. You know, I say, you know, it's like that, you know. The apple is being offered, and it's being pointed out that it's organic. Yes.
We had this discussion with devotees then about projection and relativity, and they asked the question whether we believe in Bitcoin, and then, you know, the natural answer, no. And, you know, the discussion going, why this, that, and they argue. And then, so what do you believe in? We say, you know, whatever value is in thing by God means God-given value that we believe.
Mm-hmm.
They say, but it is also Maya. Well, it is. Gold is also Maya. But it's a first projection, like Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur commenting on the Kapil Gita. He says there's a first projection on the water, then water reflects on the wall. So then how far we want to go with this?
Mm-hmm.
So like you mentioned, Maya, that's the first, like natural, whatever it means.
Yes, yes.
Means men, women, you know,
yeah,
like that. Children,
right.
It's all Maya, basically.
Right, right.
That
yeah.
Relationship doesn't exist on an absolute level.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the first projection. And then it distorts. And it,
right.
It can get, you know, as many varieties as we want.
I mean, Facebook is up to, what is it? I'm not sure what it is now. I think it's up into the 70s. Of options for, you know, male or female, or in the other. Male, female, other. There's up to like in the 70s or something. Of options.
So then Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he makes that point. The closer it is to the origin, then you see something is in there, but then the further down it is, you can't see the origin.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to be like super intelligent to track the whole thing back, which most people can't do.
They won't do it. As it says, people in ignorance, devoid of inquiry, is in tapas. So it's just, you say that and they go, oh yes, that's in ignorance. Because it's like, well, why is it like that? Passion, you're looking, why is it like that? How can I take advantage? Sattva is, how, why is it like that? You know, what's my duty? But then pure goodness is, why is it like that? Because it's Krishna's energy, and that's how Krishna makes it. So we can say, yes, the gold's an illusion, but if you see it in context of Krishna, it's not an illusion. Right? It means if Krishna's going to have his pastimes, then there's going to be the element, one of the mediums of pastime is wealth. You know, because the gopis are going to take their yogurt to the market and sell it. So that means there must be a concept of wealth. If there's no concept of wealth, why would they go to the market? If they don't go to the market, how does Krishna have the, you know, Donna Kaley pastimes? Right? Or the you know, being the boatman pastime. How do you have those things? So these are all things that are there because he is opulence. He is wealth. He is fame. He is all these things. So when you see it in connection to him, it may be made out of the material energy, but it no longer gives a material effect. So gold, being used in Krishna's service, no longer gives an illusory effect. Right? Only the person will say, it's just illusion. No, it's illusion if you don't see it connected to Krishna, and if you do see it, it's not an illusion. Right? Because it's then used in Krishna's service, for his pleasure. So the existence is there, the will is there, the pleasure is there, but it's all connected to Krishna. And as soon as we connect it to ourselves, that's where the illusion is. Or, even we're practicing devotees, then you're going to have that mix. It's a little about Krishna, it's a little bit about ourselves. You know, it's just like, let's say, someone's engaging money really nicely in Krishna's service. But then there's there may be the pride of how good they are at that, or the happiness that I get to work with so much money, or, you know, something like that. So that's just going to be something that's there. The major thing is it's devotional. But then there's going to be that, but minor, so that has, all those upadis have to be given up. Therefore, then there's going to be little problems. You know, people complain about how you spend the money, even though you're better at it than anybody else. But because you're attached to that, you're better than anybody else, Krishna arranges someone criticizing. Yeah.
Some kid comes along and he's better than you.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. That's always been. Yeah. I mean, that's the principle in the Vedic, you know, in human, but in the Vedic cultures, that you know something, you know, have some knowledge or skill or something, some wisdom, then you teach that to the next generations. They may become better than you, and you're comfortable with that. So if you are, then you can work very nicely. So that's why there's the need of detachment. Free of attachment, then it's sattva, so then you can teach. Otherwise, it's very annoying if they become better. You know, it's like you see Dronacharya, then Arjuna becomes so good.
Yes.
Right? And so then he asks for the dakshin, that's a generic thing, and they get that, but he says, from Arjuna I have a very specific. Others, it was just the generic. He wants Drupad captured. Hmm. But after that, then he said, I have a specific one for you. He says, you know, in the upcoming battle, you don't refuse to fight with me. So he already knew there's going to be a war. And this is, you know, the beginning. Because he could just see the mentalities of everybody and how they are. He knew there's going to be. But it's like he's so good, then he wants to be able to, you know, use that in fighting with the best. You know, it's just like Banasura, right? He has 1,000 arms. And there's nothing, no one to fight with. So when they told him that Vishnu will come along and defeat you, he's actually happy because finally someone to fight with, you know. And he's the best. It wasn't like, you know, they see that little kid over there? The one that can't walk properly and trips over the time and all that. He's going to defeat you. It's kind of like, what? You know, no, Vishnu, he's the best. So then, you know. Yes?
In the mafia, there is a saying that senior, he will never teach everything to the new man. He has something
that
which he keeps for himself, so
yeah,
that he'll never overtake the force.
He'll never overtake, yeah. Yeah, you have that. Also, in North India, in music, they would also do the same. They'll never teach everything. But in South, they'll teach, because they know they can teach you everything, But unless you have the capacity, you can't use it anyway. So it doesn't matter. So they very, if you're a good student, they'll just teach you however far you can go. But in North, when they see you're getting too good, then they'll keep things and not teach you. And then when they're about to die, then they'll say, hey, you want to learn this?
Yeah. Also, I heard that there was one famous guru, and he was having a very good student, so he didn't allow him to perform till he died.
Oh, okay, because he would be better.
Yeah, he would, like his name would go.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
I think Western parampara of giving knowledge just like that ended with Aristotle, because he immediately, you know, defamed Plato. He said the guy is like, well, although he was his guru,
yeah,
and he said, no, the truth is higher than my relationship with my guru.
Right.
So then after that, everything became.
Yeah, yeah.
Really
mixed. Well, he made a mess. He made a mess.
Because Plato, he had more balance of beta and abeta.
Right.
Socrates had even more than that.
Yeah.
And then Aristotle brought it into.
He made it mundane.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that famous painting where I think Plato and Aristotle are walking next to each other, and Plato's going like this. And Aristotle's going like this, like that. So that's their pointing out. He, you know, all that, okay, yeah, but what about this? This is the reality.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, right? Three generations and it's finished, right? Shruti describes that in the liberated state, the jiva is a doer, playing in the spiritual world. Etat sama gayan aste. Huh. Seen that every day in the yoga. Etat sama gayan aste. The jiva dwells there, singing the sama. Oh, okay, that's what it is. Oh, that's an interesting thing. Taittiriya Upanishad 3:10:5. Sa tatra paryeti jakshan kridan ramamanaha. In the spiritual world, the jiva moves, laughs, plays, and enjoys. Chandogya Upanishad 8:12:3. Right. So these are right in the Upanishad, but we see the impersonalists, they just ignore these. They'll give an indirect interpretation.
Yes. Yes.
But the idea, the direct means no, there's there. So the point is they're saying about everything here, it's nonsense. But then they're saying there, then that's good. So means if you're just saying, because we don't have the experience, so you basically give some basic, you know, some solid understanding of that. But the emphasis is going to be naturally on how to give up your attachment in the material platform and go to the spiritual platform. Right, so the volume may be all this sambandhagyan, but we see is it's talking about what they're doing in the spiritual world.
But Maharaj, probably they are making another meaning of the Sanskrit.
Yeah, no, that's what they do. They'll either take the same thing and interpret it in a different way, or use a different derivative of the roots.
Yes.
You bring it up, and you can split the word like you have. I don't can't say do, but this, like, let's say you have paryeti jakshan, so they'll do stuff like do paryeti ja, and then kshan. You know, they'll just move the letters around and get a different meaning. It's just like if we have a sentence. And we just kind of adjust it around, you know, like Scrabble or something, yes. Yes. And come up with something different.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know? Yes.
Sometimes when the meaning is quite obvious, where they cannot do anything, then they say these are secondary statements which have to be seen
in context of the primary. Mm-hmm. Yeah. like that. Yeah,
that's they comment only on few things that are the Mahavakyas, and everything else you have to see in the context of this. By that they throw out hundreds of verses which are against their
philosophy. Mm-hmm. Being a doer does not in itself mean suffering. Action related to Prakriti brings suffering, right? So happiness here brings suffering.
Yes.
And removal of suffering we call happiness.
Yes.
Because if you're happy, it's going to, it means you're hungry, you're eating, you're happy, but then you eat so much, now you suffer. And then that pain of eating too much goes away. Now your happy is there. Then you get hungry. And then now you suffer. Then you get rid of that hunger by eating. So it just keeps going. So that's the point, is in the material platform, happiness brings suffering. Suffering removal will bring happiness. But in the spiritual world, you don't have that. Action brings bliss. Like that, because it's based on love, right? Yes.
So basically, it's two sides of the same coin. Karmis say, we want to enjoy.
Right.
And then the Gyanis say, we don't want to suffer.
Yes, yes. But in not suffering, they want to attain Brahmananda.
Yeah.
Like that, you know. So that's the thing. And Karmis, they want to enjoy, so they work very hard to remove suffering. You know. Prabhupada was giving an example of, he met one, somebody came and they were meeting, he was a, what do you call it? Mining engineer. And so his job was to go down in the mines and figure out how to make it nicer in the mines. You know, the quality of the air or the temperature or like this. You know, so he was saying, he goes down in the rat hole and then he's supposed to make that rat hole nice. You know, that's his job. You know. And he had to get a degree. Rats just do that naturally, you know. Gets too stuffy, they just dig another hole so that the air goes through. You know, we think there's just one hole, but no, they have so many. Like that.
Also in all the corporate companies, the HR department is meant for that. Human resource.
Okay.
The whole like study, everything based on that.
Oh, just to make sure that those devoid of inquiry are not getting grumpy, because otherwise they get grumpy, they inquire. Yes, okay.
That's what they say about Google and all those headquarters, you know, because they have so much open space and green and coffee, right, and everything for free. That's HR, that's what they came up with. They said that if people feel comfortable, they will work more because they will want to stay there.
They'll want to stay. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that side of it. They'll want to stay.
Yes.
I was thinking that they just relax, so then their mind is more sharp.
Because it's sometimes nicer than their homes.
Okay, so they'll put in extra time.
Without any pressure.
Wow.
Yeah. And they don't have to be paid extra.
Because they'd rather be there than home. Otherwise, then they would want overtime.
There's different things, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They manipulate people.
They're so clever.
But that's one of them. They're very proud of that technique.
Yeah, but they'll present it like they care about the customer. And that's the thing, they make profit from both sides. People think, oh, they're a nice company, but at the same time they're making. You know, it's like I said, that picture of the two Vaishyas. You just look at them, you know that anything coming in front of their eyes, they're thinking, how can I exploit this economically? You know, just, you know. Is it Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, the sensuous gaze of inspection for the materialist. To the sense they look at everything and see, how can I get something from this? It's just that it's very obvious with them, like that. Otherwise, it's there in everybody, if you're material. So it goes off and back on. The guy sitting there and just cheating.
Maybe he exercises.
Yeah, maybe like that. Get some exercise. You're not getting enough exercise. All right, no problem. Being a doer does not in itself mean suffering. Action related to prakriti brings suffering. Thus, an instigation to act from the pure Lord and being a doer related to the pure Lord does not contaminate the pure jiva, since that action is predominated by the chit shakti. Right? So the chit shakti is the willpower. Right? So that's why we're saying is the instigation or that inspiration to act. It's willpower. So does the will come from the Lord or does the will come from Maya? I have senses. Here's an opportunity for the senses to be engaged. Therefore, I act. Yes. But technically, in that way, you say prakriti is taking care. Because prakriti is giving the body. Prakriti is giving the situations in which the body can be used. And the senses by which you can perceive that I can use them in that way. And so in that way, prakriti is leading you. It's like the bull being led by the... you know, by this rope through the nose. You know. And if you just leave a little bit of slack, the bull walks. You know? How fast you're walking, it'll walk that fast. It'll keep the same slack. You know? So, like that. So the bull thinks he's out for a walk.
And yes. We are thinking the same thing.
Yes, we are thinking the same thing. The pure jiva is sometimes called the non-doer since he is indifferent to material action. The liberated jiva, free of samsara, impartially sees the transformations of the covering on the jiva known as the mind, which performs actions opposed to the Lord, and which is made of maya. These transformations are without beginning, sometimes visible and sometimes invisible, right? Because that's why sometimes they're there, you see them, sometimes they go away, you don't see them, and then they come back. Oh, where did this come from? The mind is there, which performs actions opposed to the Lord. That's just what the mind does, it's material energy. So only when we control it by the intelligence in line with the pure consciousness, then we see is that now it starts to work in line here. 5.11.12. The material senses create material activities with results, either pious or sinful. And the modes of nature set the material senses into motion. The living entity, being fully engaged by the material senses and modes of nature, experiences the various results of action. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.10.31. Right, so... When the pure jiva... So the living entity, being covered by these things... then he experiences them because he identifies with them. He identifies with the upadis, therefore he experiences then the material energy, the performance of the actions, the transformations, and the results. And so what those experiences then, you know, sinful or pious, you know, happiness or distress, whatever is coming up. So he's not, in this way, he is the material energy is running things, but the liberated jiva, he's not involved in that. Therefore, he's a non-doer, and the material energy is the doer, right? But we see actually in both, the jiva is involved, so he's a doer. He wants to be involved in that. You know, mechanically it's taken care of by the modes of nature, but he wants to be involved. Therefore, he's credited with it. That's why he enjoys or suffers. But the liberated jiva, his choice is not to do like that. So even though the modes of nature run in the way they do, he's unaffected. Right? And then he engages himself positively in Krishna's service. Right? You see, Yamunacharya, even though the mind goes to things that he doesn't have a taste for, he immediately thinks of Krishna. And so we see the context in connection to Krishna. So in that way, nothing becomes unfavorable with it. When the pure jiva merges into Brahman, the jiva, though capable of acting, is covered by the bliss of Brahman and is no longer connected with action. Right? He gives up that action. It is understood that at this time, his capacity as a doer remains internal. Right? So it's only he's enjoying the Brahmananda. Yes. Because he has a particle of Ananda there, the Haladini potency is there in Ananda. But it's a very small and in connection with that neutral state. So when we put ourselves in the fire of the internal potency, then it takes on its natural form, its full form. Right? Because then that Ladini, Samvit, and Sandini become in contact with Krishna and the internal potency working in that way to please Krishna. Otherwise, we're seeing all these internal potencies from a neutral standpoint only in context of Brahman. Right? So we're conscious, we have knowledge of Brahman, and then there's the taste of Brahman. Right? But we see for the devotees that spiritual taste for them is not so important. It's about pleasing Krishna, that's important. You know, we like let us say we make nice arrangements for a program. You know, and having arranged it, and there's a few moments before everything starts, you can look at it, you know, yourself or with a friend, go, wow, okay, this came out great. This is nice. Right? And so that has a particular happiness to it. Yes. But how does that compare to the happiness of actually the program? Yes. The program is much greater. Yes. And the whole point of that situation is for the program. So therefore, the spiritual platform is for the program of Krishna's pastimes. It's not just there to, the Dhamma is there just to exist. It's there for the unfolding of the pastimes.
Yeah? We have an interesting observation in ISKCON, how managers organize programs.
Right.
So one, he stays in organizing only. Mm. He never attends the program, actually.
Mm-hmm.
During the program, he's elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second type, he likes the organization, but he also enjoys the program itself. Mm-hmm. He's actually present there.
Yes, yes.
And the third, he oversees, he's not involved directly.
Mm-hmm.
He oversees the organization, but the main focus is on the program. So he's mm-hmm. always at the program.
Mm-hmm.
So this explains, you know, Satchit and Ananda, Sandini, Sambhita, and Radini. Where's the taste?
So, yeah, we can bet. What kind of manager are you? You're a Satchit or an Ananda.
And people do it unconsciously, basically. They can't explain why I'm never at the program. I actually challenge some of them. He says, I don't know, I'm just too tired, or I have to do something in the office or whatever. So it means there's no taste.
Mm. But it's just a taste. But because they're doing it for Krishna, they'll get purified.
Yeah, obviously.
But yeah. But the other ones, because so the third one you explained, but that one, that's leadership. And the first one is management, and then that's the one in the middle. I mean, will be have a touch of both. Yeah, because they will be at the program, but they don't necessarily lead the program. Yeah, you see the ones who do, you know, big programs and that, they're always in that last category.
Yeah. Okay, did you know? She sits, takes notes, you know, and we know it's all orchestrated by him, and it's so smooth, you don't recognize how good it is.
Oh, yeah, no, it's serious management. Serious management. That set up and take down, it's a whole crew that's all they do.
Yeah,
it's amazing. But he just is, you know, seemingly, if he's just that, he's just hanging around and he's just at the program.
Friendly, everybody relax.
Yeah, but he's such a good organizer. He can have a meeting and then work it all out and then it all happens. It's pretty far out. Yeah. Radhanath Maharaj would be similar.
Yeah.
But he even less gets involved in...
Yeah.
You know, overseeing.
Well, he's got Indians, like top people.
Yes.
He doesn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, but he just sees that they come up with a good idea.
Yeah.
So he's putting in the same effort, but it's just... Yeah. Okay. When the jiva is absorbed in bhakti, which is the chit shakti of the Lord, or when he attains a body of an associate of the Lord, which is a special feature of the chit-shakti, then the jiva acts as a servant of the Lord with no influence of prakriti. When the jiva is absorbed in bhakti, the chit-shakti overpowers prakriti by its strength. In the case of attaining a spiritual body, the bliss protects the jiva. Right? Because it's the happiness that you get in Krishna consciousness protects them from being involved in maya. You know, that's what Krishna mentions. He takes the higher taste, you give up the lower. So when you get that taste for regulation and that and the mode of goodness and these kind of aspects in contextual with Krishna, then you give up the irregulated. And then from that regulated, when that's steady, right, the nishta, then you start to get a taste for that devotional activity. It's the not just the activity that it's regular, you know. It's that, you know, like sometimes devotees talk about, yeah, every day I do this and every day it's like this and that. So that means they become stable. But with time they keep doing that, then they won't be talking about it. They'll be talking about the taste of the sadhana. Right? And then from that taste will come the attachment will come the bliss, and from the bliss will come prema. So it's interesting is that you can even take the attachment, the bliss, and the prema within Ananda. You have attachment, bliss, and prema. You divide it by three. Because the attachment means that relationship with the Lord. The bliss means then the activity that comes up, because that's the bhava stage. And then the prema, that's the ananda. You know?
Also, we see that actually real training is, it should be driven by the taste in the practitioner.
Mm.
Many times in the beginning when a person comes, she naturally, from the material, he has got a spiritual taste. Everything is new.
Right.
It's very nice. So naturally he picks up and goes for a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, some of the devotees, they push, oh, this is the rules you need to follow. It becomes more niyamagraha.
Mm.
And others, okay, now you are here. Now, like, when they get at the right time, when they have the taste, when they are in good enthusiasm, that time increase more responsibility. And then that can continue.
Mm.
And again, afterwards, then when they get newer taste, that like that they can progress, otherwise.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, because point is that switching from irreligious to religious, but the point is you have to make sure that you're progressing to sad-dharma, the eternal religious process. Because what's given to us is sad-dharma, but we'll tend to only see the external.
Yes.
We'll just see the dharmic aspects. But it's about sad-dharma. So when we see it on that level, then we progress nicely. Otherwise, we can get at some point distracted. And either you end up with the ones who are totally into all the thing, or you have those who are opposed to, you know, the Vedic religious practices. Like that. Because they say, oh, that's just external. Though they're replacing it with an inferior external. You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's like, yeah.
Maharaj, this is a difficulty to accept, to be trained, to purify our perspective. In the sense that when we come to ISKCON, generally we are humble, you know.
Right, yes, like yes.
We are
yes.
suffering before, so it's new. But also sometimes, you know, there is the tendency to develop, control, you know.
Yes. But pride comes up.
Yes.
Yes.
Pride comes up.
Pride, because I'm good at this and all that, so I'm better than others and that.
Yes, and I want equality, not accepting authority like that. You know?
Yeah.
But this is the expertise to find a person who can train us to come from that level to shut down.
Yes, well, that's the whole idea of approaching the spiritual master,
is that
we're taking shelter of Prabhupada, the acharyas, the senior devotees. We're taking shelter of that so that we can appreciate this and move forward.
Yes.
So when that's appreciated, then we move forward. Otherwise, then, you know, as Prabhu mentioned, someone can get you into more, you know, that's more, you know, it's like that. You know, it's just like, technically, if you look at it, chaturmasya, then the whole point is to hear and chant more, do service in the temple more, you know, be steady in some activity. That's what it's for. Like that. But it's much of the time thinking, no, how austere you are, and you know, I only eat, you know, how you say, I only eat, you know, something not nice, you know, every 3 days while standing in my head while someone's spinning me around, you know, like that, you know. And so then we think, ah, see, yeah, that was a good chaturmas. But the point is it's about pleasing Krishna, like that. And so these things, if they help, then you're great. You know, if you're sitting in one place, you can't move around, can't leave the house, you generally would tend to eat less and more simply, because otherwise you get sick. But, you know, if you're out on Sankirtan and this and that, then you might not do that. You know, unless you feel you're a bit overweight and you need to lose 20 kilos, then okay, then fast a bit. And then, you know. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.